Blog Talk Radio.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day. Or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one.
Locked everything be alright.
Tonight, the Red Room turns purple to pay homage to the greatest, me, or who so many may say is just one of the greatest artists ever, Al Royal Badness. So many descriptions of this man, but first and foremost known as Prince. I think we are all deeply mourning his passing, but it only seems fitting that we celebrate his life and how he touched the world with his musical love, his gifts, his talent. So tonight's show is about sharing our memories, our favorite songs, or how his music touched our lives. Just anything that reminds you of Prince, your favorite song, if you have one. And for so many of us, we just can't even name one. But that's what tonight's show is about. I want to thank my co-host for just joining us on the show tonight for what to me is very, very personal, but I know for so many others as well. James, Big Love.
Hello.
Thank you guys for coming back into the Red Room after we've been away for a minute. But I thank you guys for being here because y'all both know how much this means to me and so many other people, as well as you out there that are just feeling the love that he gave to us for his music. Okay, guys. It's almost like, how do we even start this show? And I think
this
song
I'm going to start like this.
Baby. What's it gonna be tonight? Baby. Don't get my
sleep right.
Now, Prince was, honestly, I just want to say, my man Prince was a phenomenal talent. And that's what people... That's why people are going so crazy. You ever see it? I mean, it felt like a time in our lives just stopped when Prince passed on. I mean, he's a phenomenal. He was his own kind of he paved the way for a lot of people. That's why you heard him. All these people giving homage to him because he's a great man. He's the one that made his music. He did it his way. He's the kind of person that said, "Okay, listen. I'm not going to do it no other way. If you don't like me before, you know, now everything you hear, the R&B that you hear now, it's all crazy. He did it his way long before a lot of people. He paved the way for the Jay-Z and the Beyoncé's when they could just do what they want to do. He did it before that. And he was, like, unknown. Like, when he changed himself from Prince to the symbol, how did that really categorize him? Because nobody could figure him out. But he was a great guy, a great talent, and America has lost such a wonderful, wonderful voice. Right, Shelley? I know how much
people...
you... Yeah, Shelley.
I mean, yeah, and you were getting ready to say, you know, how much he meant to me, how much his music meant to me.
No, I was shocked. No, honestly, me, for those who don't know, me and Shelley, we work together. And my wife called me and said, hey, you know, Prince died. Prince passed away. And I said, wow, what do you mean Prince passed away? Because I really didn't know nothing about the plane incident, and he had, you know, emergency landing and the thing that went on. And I said, you know, I was messing around with Shelley. I said, Shelley walking up. And I said, Purple Rain. I said, Purple Rain. And she looked at me like, are you freaking crazy? Don't do that. And then I looked in her face, and, you know, I seen, like, tears and shit. I said, holy moly. This girl really, I mean, me and Shirley only know each other a short period of time. So I had no idea how much Prince meant to her. But after seeing her, I shut the fuck up. I'm saying, yo, I'm not going to say nothing bad about Prince. I was just kidding, you know, being stupid. Like, you know, anybody that know me, you know, I can be stupid sometimes. And I was like, but after seeing her face, it cut me like a knife. I said, oh, shit, I'm not going to say nothing more about Prince. I'm not playing no games. Even though I was not playing games, I was just like, you know, I was singing like a tribute to him. But she didn't like that one bit. So, I don't talk about
wasn't
Prince
even
playing
that nothing. It wasn't even that I didn't like it. It was, can you guys hear me? Because I'm challenged with the microphone for tonight because I just, this whole show just kind of, I just dived into it without preparation, but I knew it was something that I had to do. It was, to me, beyond what words can describe, and I'm a writer, and I can write. You can give me a picture of something and tell me to write about it. You can tell me, here's a pencil, Shelley, and write about the dynamics of that pencil, what that pencil does, what it makes, what it creates. And I can write a two-page description of what it is that you want me to say about that pencil. But the challenge that I had with what I lost stifled my writing. And that's something that has never, ever happened to me. What I lost when he passed away was something that I think was best described by my 17-year-old son. He called me at work, and he asked, and when he called on the work phone, it's serious. Because the work phone for my kids are like, it better be an emergency. It better not be because you want to know where something is or can I have something. It better be an emergency. When I got that phone call and somebody in my office said, your son is on the phone, I knew it was serious. And when I picked up the phone and he asked me, he said, Mom, are you okay? I know you're not okay, but I just need to know how you're doing right now. Because he had heard. And all I could say to him was, I'm leaving work and I'm coming home for lunch. I'll see you when I get in the house. When I walked through the door, my son gave me a hug, and he said to me, Mom, I cannot imagine the pain that you feel right now, because not only did you lose someone that you loved, that touched your life, but you lost a dream today. And my son and so many people that know me know that I have a bucket list. I have things that I want to accomplish in my life. And one of the things on my bucket list was one that I felt was the most impossible of all, but I still felt that it could happen because anything can happen. But all I wanted was a two-hour interview. It's 2 hours to sit and talk to the mind that was a musical genius, a lyrical genius that could put words together and beat together and create music that would just touch your soul. It would kind of just tap down into whatever feeling you had at that moment. Even if you didn't have that feeling, he made you feel it. There were times that I would listen to Prince music and there wasn't a single soul in the world that I truly adored that made me feel like I adored him. There was times that I could listen to International Lover and there wasn't a single soul in my life that would make me want to feel what he felt when he wrote that or what he thought when he wrote it. But in my mind, when I listened to that song, I was somebody's International Lover. One of my best friends that we were roommates back when the 1999 album came out, every single day, something from that album was played when we came home from work. On weekends, when we had worked our government job but didn't have enough money to go out and party, we made our own party and danced to the 1999 album. My friend Cynthia. On the day that he passed away, my phone exploded as if it was a family member, a friend, someone close to me that my friends knew that I loved and cared for, sending me condolences for my loss, even if they weren't true Prince fans like I was. There's so many people that have shed tears, and I know that people are asking themselves, why do I feel like this? Why am I experiencing so much pain for somebody that I never met? And my answer is because you did meet him. I did meet him. I've been in a relationship with Prince since I was 15 years old. I think 15. When I had posters, y'all remember, now, James, you might not, but Victor, you remember back in the day when you bought albums, there was a poster on the inside?
Yes.
You got posters. You didn't just get the album. You got posters. You got something that had the lyrics to the song because they did not want you to misunderstand the message in their music. I don't want you to think that I'm saying one thing. I want you to understand this is what I'm saying. To this very day, I still can't understand how my father, Milford Brooks, and my friends and my sister, of all people, know how I was allowed to have my bedroom walls plastered with posters of Prince. One in particular, if anybody out there listens to this, they know there was a poster of him naked. Well, he wasn't naked, pretty much, but he had on bikini, standing in a shower. My father was so strict that my senior prom, he picked my date for the prom. I can't understand to this very day, other than the fact that my father knew the love that I had for the music that he gave me. So he let me plaster his half-naked pictures all over my bedroom wall. It wasn't sexual, friends. It was sensual. It was methodical. It was something deeper than what some people saw of his music to me. So when he passed away to the other side, I saw a dream of mine die, not just with the artist, but a dream, and it taught me something. And it taught me that listening to his music, he teaches us so much, and one thing is, don't give a crap about what anybody thinks about you. Do you. Be you. Live in your talent. Live in your gift. If God gave it to you, put it out there. So my tribute to Prince is, it's lessons learned. It's how he helped me survive through some of the toughest times in my life. His music made me not want to do some crazy things because it brought me back from a place where it was like from anger to a place of love. If it wasn't from love of somebody that I didn't even know that existed, it was loving myself to say, don't do something stupid. Look at yourself and love you for who you are first before you hate somebody else.
That's
because
right.
That's what his music was about. It was about love. So, I mean, I don't mean to go off on a tangent and make this all about my tribute to Prince. I just want this to just be a show where people can know and appreciate how much this man was loved and how crazy, spontaneous. He had a sense of humor that was like, I don't even think some people understood it. But he touched people's lives in so many ways. So I want to give an opportunity to someone who wrote something that I just truly was, I was touched. I mean, it broke me down. I cried for many, many times as I did since he passed away. But it was a tribute to him that was so poetic that I was proud to see that someone could describe it in that way because I was not able to. I want to open up the line, if you would please share the last four numbers of your phone number, 3151. I know you're going to introduce yourself and tell us who you are because I so love you for what you gave with the poem that you wrote. And share your blog, please, because you have shared so much just from your life experiences, but this one was truly, truly one that touched my heart, and I feel that Prince is like standing back saying, oh, really? And giving you a big old smile.
Good evening, red, or shall I say purple room.
That's the purple room tonight.
Yes. I am Toya. I'm Shelly's little sister.
Hi,
Toya. Hey, guys.
Hey. How you doing?
And a faithful Red Room viewer, listener, since its inception. and I'm also, if she's the president, I'm the vice president of the Prince Fan Club. I mean, when he passed, my mom called me and she's like, have you talked to Shelly? I know my girls love Prince. So I'm just checking to make sure my girls are okay. So I felt the loss. I reached out to her because, I mean, we had that shared experience. I mean, it was kind of like losing a family member. I mean, like she said, words can't really express what we felt. But I woke up that morning, 3 o'clock the next morning, with Prince heavy on my mind, and I wrote this poem. And I called it Purple Passion. And here it goes. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to celebrate a great man in this thing called life. It is the end of an era, a great loss. I'm crying tears of purple rain. I now know what it feels like when doves cry. You were my first crush. I always wondered how it would be if I were your girlfriend. Your darling Nikki, your beautiful one. You were my first love, even if it were only in my daydreams. I would have died for you. I had an insatiable thirst for your music. I adored you. Wanted to be the one to feel your kiss, the one you made cream, to be your international lover, the one who you would buy diamonds and pearls and do scandalous things with under the cherry moon. Even if it were just the 22 positions of a one-night stand, I would imagine myself on the back of your motorcycle or perhaps in your little red Corvette, zipping along the streets, wind in our hair as we go crazy, partying like it was 1999. The world will never be the same. I will never be the same. I remember paying tribute to you in Minneapolis, First Avenue, Paisley Park, purifying myself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. I still can't believe you're gone. Death came like a thief in the temple and robbed me, robbed all of us of your musical genius. Nothing, no one compares to you. Rest in peace, Prince Rogers Nelson. Gone but never forgotten. Your legacy lives forever in our hearts.
Thank you, Brian. Nice, Brian. Who's Brian?
That was a good
Shelley.
One.
That was beautiful. I don't know your sense, but that was beautiful. God bless you. That was unbelievable. You could nobody could said it better.
That was really nice.
Thank you, guys.
After
and
I read that.
Oh, for those of you who actually want to see it, it has visuals. You can go to my blog site. I have that there, and that's www.LaToyaCarterQ.wordpress.com.
When she texted me, it was like, I mean, every time she texts me when she posts a blog, it's like, ooh, I can hardly wait, because I know, I mean, she's a writer, so I understand how deep her words can be. But when she texted me and wrote that and told me that she had written, it was like, it took me a little while to get past it because it was just absolutely beautiful. And I asked her to please come on the show tonight and share that because I couldn't write. I can't write. I tried to write. After I decided that tonight was going to be the show that we paid tribute to Prince, I tried to write my own tribute. And the only thing that I kept going back to was Alicia Keys. And when she gave her speech, when he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it was like nothing anybody else had already said to compare to what I could write. So all I had was what I felt deep down inside that just won't go on paper. And I'm okay with that. Because right here, as I said, every day I walk in my house and I see my Prince wall. You can call me a stalker, you can call me crazy, adolescent, whatever you want to call me, but every place that I have ever lived, anyone that's ever been in my house knows I've always had a Prince wall. From the time I was 15, I don't have the posters. Lord knows I wish I had those posters when he was half naked in the shower because that was... I'm just going to go here and Prince in heaven. You know, I thought it in my mind. That wasn't the reason I wanted to meet you. Now, I just wanted that 2-hour interview. Now, after the interview, I'm just saying, I've never been a fan of short men, but that has got to be the sexiest short man I have ever, ever seen in my life. Everybody knows me. You can be fine, but it's just not for me. But
yeah,
he had a
6'4".
Who? 5'4"? 5'2". How tall was Prince? He wasn't even 5 feet tall, I don't think.
He was 5'2".
5'2"? I stopped trying to
Damn
figure
shorter
it out.
Than
I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know how tall he was. But all I know is when a man can wear a pair of pants with his ass cheeks out, you got a sense of confidence like no other. You are basically saying, I don't care what you think about me. I'm going to show you that what I say and what you hear is bigger than what you see. And that's what his music was about. I mean, come on, y'all. He dressed in blouses with fringes and stuff on the front, ruffles and when I say some of the outfits that he wore were like, ooh, I could wear that as a woman. But I never looked at him as not being a true man. And we can all talk about the whole, oh, people said Prince was gay. Yeah, right. Okay. If he
Prince
was gay,
Prince.
he got some of the baddest women out there.
Now,
for a gay
bad
man,
woman,
I mean,
but he...
if,
Prince is a man. Prince is a man, but he has he did what he wanted. He did it his way. I'm sorry
he
to cut you off, but he did it his way, no matter what, you know. And you know one thing about Prince, you didn't hear all the craziness. You know, he did it his way, you know what I'm saying? Now they try, you know, no matter how, I don't care how Prince died. I don't care what they say about it. I don't care what comes out of it. Let me tell you something. If he did it his way, he's still worth $250 million still. When everybody else didn't go on the bankruptcy court, this problem, that problem, he still was doing it well. And now he's made major, he can make more money in death than he ever did in life. But he's a good man, and I don't care what comes out of it. Prince did it his way, period.
And you know what? And it really should be a lesson for all of us in life, though. Look what he did. He did
right.
it his way.
Right, Joe.
And look what he
and
did.
You know
he broke down barriers. He came into his spirituality. He came into himself a long time ago. But even when he came into his spirituality and made the choices that he made, he still let people know that you can love God and work in your gift, still not care what other people think about you. Because at the end of the day, I don't know anybody else that could live that life that says only God can judge me. Because, I mean, let's think back. Let's go back. And Toya, I know, because, you know, you true Prince fan. I mean, you vice president. Thank you for letting me be president. So thank you so much for that.
Of course.
We know way back in the day, his music was, it was undercover dirty.
It wasn't undercover. It was dirty.
Straight on.
I'm trying to dress it up.
That's how I got it.
I mean, because let's think about it. Do y'all remember Head? I mean, you're right, Toya. He couldn't. That wasn't undercover. That was just dirty.
He was afraid.
But it was.
I mean,
he was definitely in touch with his sexuality. You cannot say that he wasn't.
But on top of that, it was like not only was he a freak, but he wrote so many songs about true love. He had that sensitive side too.
Very sensitive side.
I mean, what
a
more
good,
could you ask
way.
For in a man?
A sensual
a
freak.
Boy?
Mm. Dang.
Oh my God.
A religious sensual freak.
Wow, he could talk about a lot of different things.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all
he was
also
politically conscious. Oh, my gosh.
Ronnie talked to Russia. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, he was political. He was spiritual. He was a friend. He was just like the overall perfect example of what every woman would want.
If only he was just a little bit taller.
Yeah,
I don't think
you
could have handled if he were a little bit taller, Shelly.
No, you couldn't have. No, I don't think anybody could have. I don't think the world could have handled him with height. But, you know, he's probably one of, and he was very eccentric because I do remember hearing stories about, I remember one time years ago hearing the story that somebody wrote about Prince had a driver, and when the driver picked him up, the driver asked him where to, and he told the driver, he said, if you're in tune with me, you can read my mind. And the driver was like, I'm not quite sure who this guy is, but all I am, I'm just a driver. I just want to know where I'm taking you to.
But that's the thing with most creative geniuses. I mean, they have that eccentric side because their mind is eons beyond the normal person.
Right.
They don't know how to be normal.
And that was definitely him. And they say he was a true perfectionist. And that's what made it hard for people to work with him. I mean, the whole rift that he had with the Revolution, with, you know, Wendy and Lisa, and, you know, when they wanted to create their music and he didn't want to hear it, it was like, wait a minute. I can't comprehend your music right now. My mind is full of my own music. I can't focus on all of this at one time. And that's what happens when you're creative like that. It's kind of hard for you to focus on so many things at one time.
It is.
But when you say he wrote some of the most romantic music, I did sit here the other day and I thought about the emotions that Prince made me feel. And he wrote music that you could be in a particular mood and you knew what to play to keep you in that mood or bring you out of that mood. Like, I don't know anybody that's a real true Prince fan that won't say that they have not ever made the most passionate love to some of Prince music. International lover.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do you know can create a metaphor of a plane ride and the act of lovemaking? He said, let me introduce you to my ride, your very own first class flight. My plane's parked right outside. Don't you want to come for a ride? I'm your international lover. Let me take you around the world. If I could sing, you know I'd be singing it right now, Victor. I can't do you, so all I could do is recite the lyrics. He said, please bring your arms, your lips, your hips to the up and locked position. I'm not going to keep going there, because anyhow.
Yes, and when two are in love, oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh, when two are in love.
Nothing's forbidden, nothing's taboo.
Nothing. When two are in love.
This is deep.
But I'm going to tell you one song that I have coined as my chat. Because, you know, when you get to a certain place in your life, you test things. I had, and I will say this, my son, and he really truly, and my son and my daughter, they really and truly feel my pain right now. I mean, they both feel it from two totally different perspectives. My daughter grew up listening to Prince when she was born.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were so many weekends that I would drive down the country with her in the back seat, in that car seat, going down the country to visit my mom, and all she heard all the way was Prince. And when we had our moments of talking about what Prince meant to us and how, you know, Prince music, you know, made us feel or whatever, my daughter shared a memory that I never, ever knew she had. And she says that when I was married to my second husband, he would come and pick her up from school sometimes, and it would be that, you know, ooh, daddy's picking me up from school, I don't have to ride a school bus. And he would pull up in front of the school in his sports car, and all the kids would be like, oh, Ashley, that's your dad? And she'd be like, yeah. And she's like her mom. She's not a girly girl. It's a little tomboyish, and it's in her. And the music would be blasting because he had, like, a tinted sub in the trunk, so you just hear that bass just booming too loud, but you could feel the bass and see, like, just the car almost moving just a little bit, and it would be Prince playing. And he knew when he would pick her up, for some reason, she said, Daddy would always pick me up, and it would be Little Red Corvette. And I would get in the car and put my seatbelt on, and Daddy would pull off, and I would feel like the coolest kid in elementary school. And there was no way you could tell me that my daddy did not have a Little Red Corvette. But he didn't. It was a Nissan 240SX. But I thought my daddy drove a Little Red Corvette. And I just looked at her and I laughed. I said, Ashley, you need to tell me back then you didn't know it was a Corvette. It wasn't a Corvette. She said, no, because it was red. And he came and picked me up. And it was always that song playing. So I thought Prince and my daddy had a Little Red Corvette. So she just laughed, and her laughter turned to tears because it was like, you know, this is something that I grew up on. And my son, he said, I understand your pain because I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Prince. And I said, you're right. literally, you're right, because my very first date with my son's dad, I was playing the Prince B-side. And, you know, as a woman, you hear people, you know, guys, if they know you like Prince, like, oh, he's gay, or this, you know, his music is weak, you know, and I was a diehard, I'm a diehard Prince fan. You can't talk about Prince. Two things that will make me never see you again. Talk about Prince and the Redskins, lose my number. The very first date I had with my son's dad, he walked in the house when he came to pick me up, and I was playing the B-sides, and it was a song that was not very known by most people. And when he walked in, he heard that song. He was like, oh, you like Prince? I said, yeah, I do. He was like, oh, we got to take that CD in the car with us. And I knew right then, well, we got at least one thing in common. So it's like his music just kind of leaves you with memories, even though they're not with people that you still have in your life, just still memories. But there's one song, and I'm going to bring this full circle, that I don't know if people really listen to the lyrics in this song. And I'm going to play the song, and then with Blog Talk, thanks to my sound producer, Thomas Red, he did the best that he could with what we're working with on Blog Talk. The song is called If I Was Your Girlfriend. And if you listen to the lyrics, I think that any man that understands the meaning, the true meaning of this song, he has to be so in tune with a woman that she has to understand that he knows what a true relationship is about. So I'm going to play this song, just a little bit of it. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but I'm going to play If I Was Your Girlfriend.
Look at the bargain stuff over here, ladies.
Cut it off right there, because I want us to just dissect these lyrics just for a minute. He said, if I was your girlfriend, would you let me dress you, help you pick out your clothes before you go out? As a woman, if I had a man that would say, now, I'm going out with my friends, but he going to go in my closet and pick out clothes for me to wear to go out with my friends? Hell, I wish I could, because I tear up my closet and make a complete ass mess of my whole room before I leave the house to go anywhere. So if he could be my girlfriend and pick out my clothes before I go out, yes, please, be my girlfriend. I mean, it's like the true meaning of that song was so much deeper than I think people really understood. It just confused people. They didn't understand. But the deepest line in that song, the deepest line in that song was, if somebody, if I was your girlfriend, would you run to me? Would you run to me if somebody hurt you, even if that somebody was me? Think people really understood how deep that was, because when somebody hurts you, do you run to the person that hurts you?
Not at all.
But he's saying, I want to be that person that's so close to you that if I hurt you, you come running to me and you let me know that. And this song was really not written to be, I don't think it was really written to be a love song. I don't think people perceived it as being a love song, but that's exactly what it is. Would you run to me if somebody hurt you, even if that somebody was me? I wouldn't. I don't even know how to, because when somebody hurts you, the first thing you do is run away from them. But that's how close he wanted to be to somebody in his life.
And I think that it speaks to the fact that when you're in a relationship with someone, you also have to have that friendship.
Yes.
You have to have that friendship.
And I think on a bigger
note, yeah, on a bigger note, he's saying, I want us to have that friendship. I want to have that type of relationship with you where not only are we lovers, but we also have that friendship like you would have with your girlfriends.
Right. I'm telling you, that dude that understands this song and understands that type of relationship, he's definitely going to get my attention. And it's not just going to be because it's about a Prince song, but it's the deep message in this song. So, all right, Victor, you started off sharing your rendition of your vocal tribute to Prince. Is there another Prince song that you would like to sing? Because you're the singer.
I love all Prince. No, I'm
you
saying.
You can sing. You can
I
sing.
I suck at singing. But Prince, he just tore it up. And I wish you could play all the music because it don't come out right, you know. Like, call him.
Calling my name.
Oh, Lord, that called my name. Oh,
call my name.
Woo. And she said insatiable, and she hit the nail on the head with all them songs and her little redemption poem. That she said,
oh my God,
I was like, damn, what happened?
Oh, but first of all, let me explain to y'all when she wrote in her poem, her tribute, that she purified herself in Lake Minnetonka. No one understands that she has actually been to Lake Minnetonka. Please elaborate.
Well, it's been more than a few years ago. My now ex-husband had a business trip that took him to Minnesota. He was a huge Vikings fan, and his thing was, I'm going to go to the Metrodome. I'm like, okay, we can go to the Metrodome, but one day it's going to be dedicated to Prince. So I went to First Avenue. I went to Paisley Park. Couldn't get anywhere near it. I, you know, sat across the street and took pictures, but I was like, I'm here looking at the place where Prince, you know, created many of his songs, had parties. And then I went to Lake Minnetonka, and I did a modified purification. I mean, I had my kids with me, so... But I'm like, I'm not going to go to Minnesota and not pay tribute to Prince. I had to lay eyes on and purify myself in Lake Minnetonka, I had to see Paisley Park. I had to go down the First Avenue to see, you know, I mean, it's different than it was in the 80s, but to see where all that musical genius had its origins. So although Shelley is the president, I'm the vice.
No, I'm not, I don't know though. You might have to be the. You might have to take over.
We might have to be co-president.
Yeah, because I never made it to Minnesota. I mean, it was almost like one of those. I didn't realize that that was something that I had. I mean, I've been to concerts after concerts. I mean, one of the pictures on my Prince wall is the program book that was like one of the best that I think he ever did. From a concert that I went to it was at the MCI Center. And
oh, you took it way back.
It was at the MCI Center. That's what they called it, the MCI Center. It was in August of 2004. And I got the tickets in the frame. I got the program book in the frame. And trust and believe, from 2004 until now, I can't tell you how many times I've changed locations or whatever, but there were some things that I held on to that were just like things that were important to me that I had to make sure that they couldn't be replaced. I mean, family pictures, somebody else in the family got a picture. So I remember you, I met you. Somebody in the family, hey, can I get a picture of us when we were at the family reunion and such and such? Somebody has it. But I went to concerts but never made it to Minnesota. But I will say my very first concert was back in the 80s. I had moved to D.C., me and my friend Cynthia, my friend Diane, bought tickets to the Stadium Armory. That's how long ago that was. And it was like the grandest event affair that I had ever attended in my life, so the outfit had to be perfect. And me being a Prince fan, I don't know why I didn't choose purple, but red has always been one of my colors. So I had on a pair of red patent leather high heel shoes. I had my jeans on. I had a cute little top or whatever it was. Back then, I was probably like 5'7", could pick anything out of this they had in there and could wear. But I'm not a person who wears hats. I don't wear hats. I don't buy hats. I've never been a hat person. But this particular event, I bought this red hat. We had floor seats, which meant you didn't get to sit anywhere. You had to stand. But where we were standing, it was maybe two rows of people in front of us. And he came to the edge of the stage. And when he looked down and said to me, "I like that hat," it was like the whole crowd needed to catch me because I was ready to pass out. Prince actually spoke to me. I thought about throwing my hat up on stage, but I did realize that I had to take the hat off, and I evidently hadn't done the hair underneath. So, Prince, I love you. I would have thrown my hat on stage. It would have meant absolutely nothing to you, but I did have to keep myself, you know, in a presentable stage to get back home. But he said, "I love that hat." That was my very first Prince concert. All of the ones that I saw after that, it just escalated from one level to the next. The last concert, the one that I went to, and that was the last time I saw him, was 2004, because after that, he performed in Baltimore, he performed in Philly, he performed in places on the East Coast that were close enough for me to go to, but unfortunately, in my life, I wasn't in a position to be able to afford to go see him. It was either you're paying for some Prince tickets and you don't have groceries, and I love Prince, but I didn't need to eat, so I wasn't able to see him ever again. But when I say his concerts were electrifying, the last concert I went to, I already knew. It wasn't about being cute. It wasn't about impressing anybody that's going to see the baddest shoes that you got on in the whole concert for the night, what your outfit looks like. It's about you walking in there and experiencing an event that you are not going to sit down the entire time. And I had a seat, and it was a very good seat because at that point I could afford good tickets. But I can guarantee you the only time I sat down was while I waited for him to get on stage, and I never sat down in my seat ever again. That's the kind of show the Prince gave you. You were never, ever disappointed. James, I know he was a little bit before your era, but is there one Prince song? I mean, and after tonight, it might be, you might even dive into the Prince archives and have to say, wait a minute, I need to find
I've already
song
started.
But I forgot what song you were just playing, but a lot of the lyrics in that song, I was like, I know those lyrics from another song. And so, like, now I'm seeing where they originated at.
Yeah. And then there's so many songs that he wrote for other people. And people didn't even know about. All of the artists that he wrote songs for, that people thought, oh, yeah, that was a hit. He wrote songs for other people. But never took credit for it, though. It was just what he did. So is there one Prince song that you know that when he passed on that you immediately thought about?
When Doves Cry. And Purple Rain. Purple Rain stuck out to me because purple is my favorite color. And then I saw the movie. I remember all of it, but those are the two main songs that I know of Prince. And then, like, I also recently found out that Beautiful Ones was originally his song before Mariah Carey and Cisco redid it.
Please don't do the Prince. Please don't do the holler, because now there's one bad memory that I have of Prince.
I'm not going to tell the story.
Can you picture this? It's quite good. Emotions of violence and boom. All the most night curious possess. They feel the heat between me and you. Just maybe stop.
Oh, dang, so you're with
the world is so
singer.
Cold. Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just
I can see, she never face in heaven shine. Right now, looking down at Victor with the shade
when
face. She can use the shade face right now.
That is what it sounds like.
She probably putting that up there with a Lifetime movie.
Right. Oh my gosh. It's crazy because I've seen so many videos on Facebook and social media that has made me laugh because I didn't know how. I mean, when you say a person can throw some shade, oh my gosh, the shade face. He spoke through silence. And he spoke to his music. Because he could give you a face that would make you think, oh, shit, I shouldn't have done that. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Because when he threw shade, you saw it all. It was written all over his face. There was no question about it. And what I found the funniest of everything was, please tell me y'all did see the video. Because, and this is, I want to make a disclaimer about this, too. I do not want to ever hear anybody compare Prince and Michael Jackson, because there cannot be any comparison. Michael Jackson was a musical genius on his own level. Michael Jackson was amazing. I'm not going to say I wasn't a fan of his, but you cannot compare. It's like comparing apples and oranges. We're talking about Michael Jackson, who his family, I mean, he had talent. Yes, he had talent, and somebody may give me some backlash from this, but his family pushed him to be what he was. He did. Maybe he had the interest in it. Maybe he had the talent. He did have the talent for it, but, and he became a great artist. But it was two different types of music. It was the same era, but it was two different types of music. They had their own different personalities. So what drives me crazy is people say, oh, well, you know, Michael Jackson's gone and now Prince. Well, you know what? Rue McClanahan died and so did Prince. Are we going to compare the two of them together too? No. It's two totally different people.
Well, are you talking about the King of Pop and the Prince of Soul?
Thank you. It's totally different. So, you know,
it's two different types of music.
Yes.
But similar as far as uniqueness.
How they touch the world. Yes, uniqueness. Totally similar in how
uniqueness. That's the only thing
people crying across the world just like Prince did. But I will say this. I don't know. Did Michael Jackson have the Eiffel Tower light up purple? I don't know. They might have.
They had looking like gloves. I'm saying, but don't worry about that. It's two amazing talents that died too soon. Period.
Exactly.
And that's where it ends at. That's where it ends as far as similarities.
You can't compare. It's just they were both unique in their own ways. But
Michael
so
Jackson
funny
was broke.
Was,
Prince is too rich.
Yeah. Do you
Michael
know
Jackson,
that I heard years ago?
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I'm saying Michael Jackson, you know, had the allegations. Prince was still Prince. It's apples and whatever you called it. It's two different.
Apples and oranges.
Two different,
you can't compare the two. Two different people. But what I found funny was the rumor that, you know, Prince turned down the video to be in Michael Jackson's bed, and his response was so part of his humorous side that not a lot of people got to see. I mean, us as just regular everyday people didn't get to see it too often. But what was so funny was he was being interviewed by Chris Rock, and Chris Rock asked him, he said, I understand that you turned down the role to be, you know, in the video bad. He said, well, I will put it to you this way. The very first line says everything. One, it's something that I would not say to him, and two, he would never say to me. And the first line in that video is, your ass is
your
mine.
Butt is mine.
Your butt is mine. But we all know that, man. Your ass is mine. Your butt. Can you imagine Prince Michael Jackson saying, your butt is mine? He said no.
Your
he
ass
would have said
is
it
mine.
To me, and I would. Right.
Oh, wow.
I never paid attention to that.
But it was just funny the way that he, you know, he added humor to what people wanted to create as controversy. And that's all Prince ever knew in his life was controversy.
Right.
But, you know, it's like he was just that artist that he just broke barriers. He broke barriers. And there's no way that anyone who was a true fan is not affected by his music. All I hope is this. Now, there's a rumor, and I don't know how true it is, but years ago I heard that Prince had so much music in the vault, that he had written music, and there were places that he would just write stuff and he would leave it. And somebody told him, he said, you can't just keep leaving this around like this. You have to hold your talent sacred. You can't just keep leaving stuff around, you know, record stuff and put it on. Back then it was cassette tapes and, you know, stuff like that. you can't just record music and put it on cassettes and just leave it places. Do you know people will take your music? So he took that advice and decided to create a vault. But rumor has it that years ago, and I would say at least about 10 years ago, I heard this, he has so much music that has already been recorded in this vault that he could release four albums a year for the next 20 years of his music.
I bet she's going to come out now.
All I hope is whoever his heirs are, that they do not deny us of that. I'll pay for it. And I can totally understand. Because y'all know Prince locked the internet down like nobody else had. Toya, I know you know, and any other true Prince fan that listens to the show knows, you could at one point Google on or go on YouTube and hear his songs or see the videos and watch it for free when somebody had uploaded it or whatever. But when
Not
he
now.
Got to
no
the
more.
Point where Warner Brothers screwed him over, Prince hired a team of people that their only job, their mission in life, they had to live, breathe, and sleep scouring the internet to find any website that did live streaming, uploads of his music that you did not pay for, and shut it down.
Damn.
I had one of the best Prince playlists on a website called playlist.com. I had it categorized, my cook and play music, my date night play music when it was just me and Prince at home because I ain't have a date, but he was my date for the night. I had a play. Oh, yeah. Oh, me and Prince had dates many nights when I was single and when I could get his music. And it was Saturday night. I ain't had nowhere to go. I'm in the house by myself, and it's just me and Prince. And I'm just sitting there listening to the music, dancing, singing like it's just the two of us in the house together. Then I had my playlist that was the private, it was the private room playlist.
The purple room.
But I had, oh yeah, oh you had to have a private room playlist. But at some point you would go back to that playlist and you would see video deleted, video deleted, video deleted. I'd be like, well, what the heck just happened? You couldn't get his music nowhere. And he decided that my intellectual property will not be free. And I can totally respect him for that. Now it's a little different. And, I mean, I kind of feel bad that I'm actually listening to some of his music on sites that, you know, we are listening to it for free. But it's like, all I can do is look up to the heavens and say, come on, dude, really? You got to give it to us now. It's what we need. You put it out there. You got to give it to us. We can't pay for it nowhere because he didn't even have his music on iTunes. He just released some of his music on, what was it, Apple Play, which is, I think, is iTunes. But it's the last CD. If you didn't have it anywhere else, yeah, Victor, I know you good to go because you probably got an iPod that's just, you probably need to get a home security system for your security system for your Prince music on your iPod. Because you might have somebody trying to slip into one of your windows with a black ninja suit on. Not saying that I thought about doing that to grab your iPod. Mhm. But it's okay. I know he's got all the Prince songs. I mean, especially after he's been singing them the way that he has. But I just, you know, tonight to me was just, I just needed to do this. And I think this has given me closure just to be able to sit and talk to, you know, people that truly know and understand. For me to sit here and not, I mean, I did shed some tears, but I think
you cried.
Just,
you ain't shed no tears, you cried.
Okay, so you saw me cry the other day at work. Don't you dare tell nobody. Unless
you,
okay, and you saw me cry the other day too when he passed away, but don't you dare tell nobody that you saw me cry unless you make sure you let them know it was because of Prince.
Yeah, you cried. I was like, what's up?
But that song, You Make My Sun Shine with Angie Stone, that's a great song. I never heard that before.
He did so much out there. And then his humanitarian efforts. When I saw that video about how he was doing those concerts and they were just a cover for all of the things that he was doing in different neighborhoods and different cities, it was like, you just never know. You just never know. So he has so many different names.
So what's that song we're gonna show up with? I know you got something special for Prince. And before we do that, I just wanna say, I found that robbery to come out tonight because I know how you felt being the, you create my motivations. And when you said, hey, let's do this thing tonight, we came out of, you know, we, for those who are listening and knows that we went on a little hiatus, we're just trying to make the show better. And we come back the next time, you ain't gonna worry about it. There's no stopping us now. But we came out tonight because it's a great cause, and how you feel about Prince, and I could not be here and do that for you. And I hope people understand how much you Prince is your boo, and I see it in you.
That was
my
boo.
Yeah, I know he's your boo. I didn't know then. Shit. Maybe
but
I was not a friend, but now I know. Shit. Prince, man, you should have seen her. She was beside herself. And I started saying, baby. And she's like, well, unbelievable. But it's been a great show, though.
It has. One of the things that I've listened to some of the lyrics in the song, I've watched the interviews. I know anybody that looks at my Facebook page probably thinks that I'm probably psychotic, delusional, because nothing I post right now is anything about anything other than Prince. But it's just where I am in my life, and it's my page. So if you don't like it, I actually deleted somebody the other day. True, honest. I deleted somebody the other day because they made such an insensitive post, and it may have been a joke, but one thing I don't find funny is joking about someone passing. I don't care who it is. And if you want to get likes or comments or whatever and use it as comedy for somebody dying, I need to delete you. I don't have any problem with what you post on your page. I just don't need to see it. So I've been watching all these videos, even though I haven't posted anything other than Prince. But it's two things that really stuck out with me for what I've seen. And one video that he did, one interview he did, and it was a long time ago. It was like early in his career. I think it was like in the late 80s, early 90s, and he talked about how he said, you know, one thing I do is every night I pray, but I don't ask for much. I just thank him. And it really was like one of those, this man has so much. And he sits here and says, He prays every night, and he doesn't ask for much. He's just thankful. That, to me, says a lot for, you know, how in tune we really should be with our spirituality. But then another thing he said that has really been my motivating force, my driving force, after realizing that how important, anybody that knows me knows how important my bucket list is to me. And I created my bucket list because I saw 50 Cent's interview with Oprah. And somehow in that conversation, she asked him something about his goals and his dreams. And he said, the one thing that I do every day is to make sure that I live my life attempting to reach my goal, because when I'm lying on my deathbed, I do not want to see my dreams standing around me asking, why did you leave me here? And with that dream being on my bucket list, now knowing that I will never, ever be able to live that dream in my life, I know it could have been the most impossible thing that I could have ever asked for, but I still believed that somehow, some way, it could have happened. But to know now that it can't, it says to me that everything that I want to do in life, I got to stop waiting. We have to stop waiting. We have to do something to live our dreams. Because if we don't, who wants to be in that place? When we get ready to close our eyes for the last time and see all of the things that we wanted to do in our life, standing around looking at us saying, why didn't you do something? Why did you leave me here? So, to Prince, I say your passing taught me something that I know I need to do. I got to chase my dreams. I got to chase them down like I'm a lion in the jungle, because I don't want to leave this earth feeling like there were things that I wanted to do that I just didn't take the effort to do. And one of his quotes was this: a strong spirit transcends rules. And that means if your spirit is strong enough, it'll break every rule that's out there. And that's exactly what he did. So not only was he my musical lover, my Purple Prince, my dates many nights, my lyrical genius, he also taught lessons to people that if you really were in tune with who he was and what he did, and if you weren't, you can still learn. I just want to say that God got an angel that had just obviously served his time on earth. And I want to end the show with a song that, it's a newer song. I'm not going to say it's the newest song, because, you know, with Prince, you had to had that special to get the newest. But the very first time I heard this song, it was one of those. And Toya, you can identify with this. I heard my future husband singing this song to me one day. But I listened to it now saying that I appreciate how hard you worked to give us everything that you gave us. And the song is called A Thousand Hugs and Kisses. And this is what I give to you, Prince. A thousand hugs and kisses. Everything that you gave to us.
You work so hard, you really do. I don't think that anyone could work as hard as you. Hot desert sun, you feel the heat. Every drop of sweat on your brow is well earned, so you best believe. I got a thousand hugs and kisses for you when you come back home, baby. I got a thousand hugs and kisses for you when you come back home, baby. Turn the page. When you give him your all, still it's only second best. You can come and lay your head upon your baby's chest. Every one of your worries,
all your worries,
all your misery,
all your misery,
you can put them in a little boat and ship them off to sea. Cause I got a thousand hugs and kisses for you when you come back home, baby. Hey, hey. I got a thousand hugs and kisses for you when you come back home, baby.
To all of us in the Red Room, I thank you for joining us for the show tonight. Anybody else want to close the show out? Thank you, everybody, for being in the Red Room. Wow, tribute to Prince. Join us next week for another show. We will open up the Red Room and give you exactly what it is that you can expect to receive. Tonight was a little emotional. Next week we'll come back. And I thank everyone for listening. Thanks, James, Vic Love, Toya, thank you so much for sharing.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course, thanks for having me.
And thank you, Little Sis. Do I know you? No.
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 But one day, I will get to know you.
Just as long as you don't sing.
All right, I will sing.
The beautiful one.
So, yeah, I put your blog on my page.
Yes, we need to share her blog. It was absolutely beautiful.
It was unbelievable.
I shared it already.
Oh, thank you.
All right, guys.
And Shelly, I will give you a Red Room exclusive when my book drops later this year.
Oh, I'm so ready for that book to drop. And also, I'm waiting for James. I really haven't touched on him lately, but I'm right in the Red Room. How about that, fam? Yes, I'm doing it. I need you to get back to writing because the book is done. You just need to put it together. All these
I found my writing.
Editor here.
Yeah, exactly. This is the editor on the show right now. I'm getting ready tomorrow to finish the last piece of the publishing company, and I will be ready to launch it by next week. So I need y'all to get it together because we're about to do some writing, some publishing, and Victor, you got a story to tell too, so get to writing.
I'm going to tell a story that I didn't want to be assistant. I'm going to tell a story. I want somebody else to write it. And it's a great one.
We do that too. Excuse me.
Yeah,
we handle all
of
that.
We can ghostwrite.
Oh, yeah. You're talking to an editor and a ghostwriter. Thank you very much. So, I mean, it's just that whole intellectual get that message out there, family thing going on. So
yeah, but my shit is deep. It goes from
we
the
know
hood,
that.
From the hood to the hill, baby.
Oh, that's
the name.
Oh, that's the title.
From the hood
hey,
to
hey,
the
hey.
Hill.
We gotta
hold up. We gotta write this down.
Right, we gotta.
Don't you be biting my. If
right
I see a book,
no.
Excuse me. Hello.
No, that's what I'm saying. Book? We got to cut it off now because so you get ready to give away your book title, man. We can't be doing that.
If I see any of your books named Hood to the Hill, that's mine. But it's the Hood to the Hill.
You
know, look, sorry.
Okay, in the words of Prince, you need to protect your intellectual property. That's not be playing around, okay?
All
if you
right.
see anybody out there, you will need to hire some people that's going to search the Hood to the Hill. Yeah, we need to, yeah.
And my second book after that one will be Welcome to
Can't reveal that yet.
Right. He can't get ready to throw all. Didn't we just tell him to protect his intellectual property? And then he's going to throw the second
book in. And my second book is.
And the second book is.
The sequel.
The sequel is Welcome to Love's Lounge, where you love and you lounge. I love that sound. All right, y'all have a good night. Thank you for
all right.
letting
Thank
me.
Thank y'all so much. I just can't.
Good night,
y'all
everybody.
No
good night.
Y'all have no idea how much tonight meant to us. I really appreciate it. Love you all. See you next week. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good
all
night.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Mary Ellen. Wait a minute. Who's Mary Ellen?
You guys are funny. Good night.
Good night, y'all.